The Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Project, December 11th, 1986, Harold Kimball and Ann Fagan interviewing. Mr. Schwartz, would you begin, please, by stating your full name, your address, and your date of birth?
Frank L. Schwartz, 5425 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, 15232. I was born July 22nd, 1912.
Okay, Mr. Schwartz, we'd like to begin by hearing about your childhood. And if you will, please tell us about your parents, what you remember about your life as a young child in the household with your family.
I was born in a small town in Germany in a province called Palatinate, which is adjacent to Alsace. As a matter of fact, the Alsatian border was only about 3 miles from the little town I was born. The name of the little town was Bergzabern, B-E-R-G-Z-A-B-E-R-N. My family lived in that area since sometime in the 18th century.
Can you give us, while we're talking about your parents, your mother's maiden name and whether her family had indeed come from that area as well?
My mother's maiden name was Josie Pfeiffer, P-E-F-E-I-F-E-R. She was not born in this area. She was born in Brookhaven, Mississippi. And peculiarly, her mother and my father's mother were sisters. In other words, my mother and my father were first cousins.
Would you tell us again the name of the town in Mississippi?
Brookhaven, B-R-O-O-K-H-A-V-E-N.
Right?
B-O-A.
B-R-O-O-K-H-A-V-E-N.
All right, you were telling us about the family connection between parents.
My grandfather left Germany. My maternal grandfather left Germany in 1848 for probably three reasons. One reason was that he did not want to serve in the army. The second reason was that the economic possibilities were very limited. The third reason was that there was a law in Germany at that time that in every Jewish family, only one child could marry. So many of the children left their families so that they could marry as well. My grandfather landed on the East Coast, most likely in the Baltimore area.
Had he gone to see it, or to be with a particular family member?
Not
were there
that
any
I know
connections?
Of.
I see.
He made a connection in Baltimore with a wholesaler who gave him a certain amount of merchandise, which he started to peddle, walking to the south and the west. And as soon as he received enough money, he would send the money back to the wholesaler, who would in turn send him more merchandise. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he had enough merchandise to be able to have a cart, and then a little bit later, a cart, a wagon with a horse. And after approximately 3 years, he had enough money, enough to buy merchandise to start a store. And at that time, he had reached Brookhaven, Mississippi. And evidently, he felt that that town had enough possibility for a store to prosper.
Is Brookhaven near any large city?
Near Hattiesburg.
Near Hattiesburg. Very well.
He opened the store, and within 5 years, he prospered in the store. He felt he was safe enough not only to marry, but also to bring his wife's brother into the area, and the brother started a sawmill. There was a lot of wood that was being cut down at that time, and there was no sawmill there, so the sawmill also was very profitable. And all the people who worked in the sawmill were not paid with money, but they were paid with pieces of paper, with chits, which were redeemable only in my grandfather's store.
This was when approximately?
That was approximately 1860.
All right, so it's pre-Civil War that we're talking
about. Pre-Civil War.
Yes.
The chits were not only redeemed for merchandise, but they also, the men were also given money to buy things which were not available in the store. My grandfather served in the Civil War. Of course, he served with the Southern Army. He was fortunate. He received injuries.
This was Mr. Pfeiffer?
His name was Emmanuel Pfeiffer, P-F-E-I-F-E-R. My grandmother's name was Rachel. Her maiden name was Dreyfus, D-R-E-Y-F-U-S. Her brother's name, who started the sawmill down there, was Morris Dreyfus. And his son, Edwin, came to Pittsburgh and lived in Pittsburgh for probably 60 years.
This would have been when?
I would say approximately from 1900 to 1960, approximately.
You say this is the son of your grandfather?
No.
I got it wrong.
I'll give it to you later.
Okay. All right, but I'm almost stuck.
The son of my grandmother's brother.
See, it's not easy.
This was Edwin, son of Morris Dreyfus. No, let's continue.
My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, had 7 sisters and brothers, all of whom came to this country except one.
And this?
The one stayed in the town where I was born. And after these brothers and sisters had established themselves in this country, they decided among each other that every year one of them would go back to Germany to visit the sister who was left there. That's not for me. In 1911, it was turn of my maternal grandparents to go to Germany, and since my mother was not married at that time, they of course took her along. And while they were visiting, my mother met my father. I imagine they stayed, the two sisters lived together in the same home, and of course my father lived there too.
What had the family that remained in Germany done?
They were mainly grain and cattle merchants, mainly grain. As a matter of fact, they supplied grain to the German army in the German-French War of 1870. And from what I learned, they were quite a large supplier of the army at that time, because the army was fighting very closely to where we lived.
Did the family, was the family part of a Jewish community there? Do you have any knowledge of what the Jewish population was like?
There was a small Jewish community in Bergzabern at all times. I have no idea how large they were at the time my grandparents, both my grandmothers lived there. However, when I was born, there were approximately 20 families in the town. There was a synagogue in the town. There were services every week, and in order to have minyan, they very often called on my father to come down. My father was not really an observant Jew, but he came whenever it was called, and as soon as I was old enough, he would take me along. I was bar mitzvahed in that time. I was taught by a man who was not a rabbi, who lived in the town, who was really only a teacher. But this man also led the congregation at services.
May I ask, was it Reform or Orthodox?
I would say it was conservative, but leaned toward the Orthodoxy. Mm-hmm.
Were there other children in your family?
I'm the only son.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only child.
The only child, I see. And you became part then of the community, the small Jewish community, at a very young age, if you went to services?
Yes.
Yes.
There was no Jewish community life there at all. I went to school, and all my friends were non-Jewish.
Do you have any memories of their attitudes toward you as a Jew?
Yes. There was, even at that time, as a matter of fact, at all times in Germany, there was a good amount of anti-Semitism. And I was subjected to a great deal of difficulty. I would say from age 9 or 10 on, my family was respected in the city. But there really were no great social contacts.
Were there children your age to play with among the Jewish families? No comrades?
None at all.
Among
none
Jewish community?
I only played with children who were in the neighborhood, the children I went to school with.
Was the school one which was fully open to you as a Jewish child?
Yes. There was no discrimination as far as education is concerned. There was no difficulty of getting into the school. And as far as the teachers were concerned, I did not feel there was any difference shown between me and the other children in my class.
What are your memories of the school as such? Quality of education, way in which the school is run?
I think the quality of education was good. I went to school for 4 years with all the children of my age. And after that, I was transferred to a Latin school, which also was a public school. But there was a more advanced type of education, and they had much smaller classes. And at age 10, I started to learn Latin. And at age 13, I started to learn Greek.
You were studying Hebrew at this time also, were you?
Very little Hebrew. I learned enough Hebrew to read it, but not to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little more about what is a Latin school? We don't have those in this country, do we?
Well, you have it, for example, in Boston.
Yes.
Really?
Which is, it's better if it's called the Latin school in Boston.
See, I didn't know that.
There are such schools here too, but most of the schools that are structured in that way are private schools, not public schools. But there are schools like that here also.
Mm-hmm.
But there it was a public school. I mean, there was no extra charge for my going to that particular school.
Did that mean you had to learn to speak Latin in the classroom?
We never spoke Latin, or never spoke Greek, but we were able to translate.
I see.
As we progressed, Latin and Greek authors from the original text.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing was true in learning French and English.
Let's go back to memories that you have of your childhood and your home. What kinds of things do you recall about family life? Things you did together?
We had a large house in the city I was born in, and an unmarried uncle and aunt lived with us at the time.
Maternal or?
Paternal. I had a particularly good relationship with my uncle. I spent a great deal of time with him. And I know both my uncle and my father would daily go on long walks with me. They did it for exercise, I imagine, and they took me out of the house so that my mother and my aunt would not be bothered with me. As far as our family life is concerned, as early as I can remember, I always had to be at the table for lunch and for dinner. Don't remember about breakfast time. And I always had to stay until everybody was finished. And dinner table, there were always a great deal of discussion because, as far back as I remember, the war had started as far as Germany was concerned in 1914. And there was always a great deal of discussion what went on and what happened. And I'm sure I learned a great deal about the relationship of different nations because, since my mother was American born, and as soon as America ended the war, there was a great deal of discussion, and my mother had a lot of problems connected with it because some of her families were fighting on the other side.
Yes. Was she, as far as you can remember, uncomfortable or alarmed because she was an American in Germany?
She was uncomfortable in Germany all the time, even before the war and after the war. She stayed in Germany and she made the best of it. But I don't think she ever was really a happy woman in Germany. She did not adjust herself very well to German ways. She felt Germans were much too outspoken for her taste, for her upbringing, or to what she was accustomed to.
Were there qualities in your mother of a Southern young woman?
Surely.
She grew up in that milieu.
Of course. She was brought up in the ambience, and she had a southern cultural background all her life.
So it was a tremendous cultural change for
her. It was quite a shock to her, the coming to Germany. As a matter of fact, she had difficulty adjusting herself when we lived in Pittsburgh, when we came finally to Pittsburgh, to the northern way of living.
Did she, as the mother of a young child, try to instill American ideas in you? I mean, here you were, the child of two nations, in a sense.
I don't think so. I always understood English. The first words I'm told that I spoke were English. My mother spoke English to me all the time. I don't know if she did this consciously or because it was more convenient for her. The rest of the family always talked German to me. Mm-hmm. So in a certain sense, I was brought up sort of in a bilingual situation. Although I answered my mother in German, I didn't answer her in English.
Mm-hmm. But you were comfortable in English then from infancy
on? As far as hearing it is concerned, yes, but not so much as far as reading it, and not as far as speaking it is concerned. But as far as hearing it, I was very comfortable with it. I had no problems at all. When I was 8 years old, my mother brought me over here to visit. And I adjusted at that time to English very easily, very quickly.
You were living in Germany during a very difficult time. You were a little boy during those war years. Do you have vivid memories of those as a child?
I really have very little memories. I remember, for example, that one or two airplanes were shot down, one French and one German, in the area where we lived. And my father took me out to see the planes. I have very, very vivid memories of the German army coming home after armistice was declared, and of the French army following within hours after the Germans came home. And the difference between the two armies was just unbelievable. Mm. Germans were very bedraggled, poorly dressed. The French were very happy and jubilant, and Germans occupied the area where we lived for a number of years.
Do you have any sense of hardships during those years, or were you too young
to recall? We had no hardship at all.
And again, you were too young to sense whether the people in your community did or not.
People in our community had hardships, because many of the people in the community had sons who were in the army, and they were very concerned about it. There were food shortages, but somehow or other my family had connections with farmers even before the war, so that we, as far as I know, had never any problems with food. I know that sometimes we didn't have coffee, but that really never concerned me. I mean, we didn't have coffee, we had tea, so they made it do. But we always had enough fruit, vegetable, meat, that I know there was never a problem of being hungry.
What about memories of Germany after the war?
Well, after the war, the situation in Germany very quickly became very good economically. I would say from 19, after the 22 to on, Germany had a booming economy until 1927. I had very little problems with other children. As soon as I came, became about 11 or 12 years old. When we left the little town, before I was 14, and we moved to Frankfurt.
Was this because of a change in business, or can you recall why the family made that decision to move?
Did you get the date?
The move to Frankfurt, you said, was when you were...
I think the family wanted to move because they wanted to live in a larger city and have the advantages that a larger city could offer them, both from an economic point of view and from a cultural point of view. In addition to that, after the war, my father and my uncle wanted to be involved in business again, and there was very little chance, there was no chance in the town to do that. And both my father and my uncle became involved in business after we moved to Frankfurt. I think the reason was mainly economic. That was in 1920, end of 1925.
25. Huh? And so your family moved to Frankfurt, and did your father and your uncle establish a business there? And
not together.
Oh.
They both went separate businesses there.
And what were those businesses?
My father was in the leather goods business, and my uncle was in the importing business.
Did the brothers continue to live together? Did your uncle share
your... We lived in the same house, but we had two separate apartments in the same house then. We didn't live together. We didn't have the same kitchen anymore.
What are your memories of Frankfurt in those years? Again, you were a young teenager by then. What do you recall?
I lived in Frankfurt for about 9 years. And except for the last 2 years, I enjoyed myself in Frankfurt very much. I continued to go to school in what in Frankfurt was called a gymnasium. Mm-hmm. Which also put all this emphasis on classical education.
Were there many Jewish youngsters in the school with you in Frankfurt?
There were very few Jewish youngsters in the school where we lived too. There were very few Jewish people living in the area where we lived. Yeah. Most of the Jewish people were living in a different area. There was a Jewish high school in Frankfurt at that time, which I did not attend.
Yeah.
Some of my friends attended it and attended other schools where there were more Jewish people. But as soon as I came to Frankfurt, I associated with many more Jewish people, Jewish boys and girls, than I did before that.
How did these associations come about? Through a synagogue?
School and through a synagogue and through friends my parents made.
I see.
Through sport. I joined a Jewish Boy Scout movement.
Ah. So that your world became much more Jewish than it had been in your small town.
Yes, especially culturally, not so much religiously.
Mm-hmm.
In Frankfurt, we joined a Reform congregation, and I attended synagogue there much more often than I did before. There were several rabbis in three rabbis in that congregation, and the rabbi who gave me religious education was a very liberal man, influenced me quite a bit, taught the Reform movement.
Can you recall his name?
Yeah. His name was Salzberger, Salzberger.
Was he?
Go ahead.
Excuse me. What? He was a rabbi.
Right? He was a rabbi.
A reformer.
But when you classify Reform in Germany, it was not quite as liberal as Reform in this country is.
Mm-hmm.
Never was. So you can't label it exactly the same way.
What kinds of activities did you as a young person engage in addition to school? You mentioned a Jewish Boy Scout troop.
Yes.
What were some of your other interests, Mr. Schwartz?
Sports.
And
tennis, soccer.
Now, were these associated with school or with your friends outside of school primarily?
No, they were mainly with friends outside of schools and clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. tennis courts were, for example.
Before we leave this subject, I think it's pertinent. Since the reform movement started in Germany, were you or your family aware of its beginning at any time, or were you just exposed to it? You were in no movement.
The reform movement really began the first part of the 19th century, right after Napoleon. Yes, and it began in Berlin, but it spread in Germany very quickly, because German Jews were exposed to the Enlightenment area of the French Revolution, and Napoleon brought all that into all the countries that he conquered. And the reform movement started at that time and grew very, very rapidly in Germany.
So it wasn't unusual for you to be exposed to it.
The reform movement there was much closer to the what we call here conservative. The reform movement, the way we know it, really developed in this country.
And in Pittsburgh.
To some extent, in Pittsburgh, yes. Isaac Mayer Wise was really the person who gave it the big push. And in Pittsburgh, with J. Leonard Levy, it became almost an extreme development.
May we back up?
Oh, yeah.